We had a good day at lunch today. So thank you to our young people. That was a lot of fun. We had a good meal, great service. They got tips. I think they need to pay back old dad, is kind of what I'm thinking. But anyway, it was a really fun time. So thank you for all of us who got to participate in that. Made Father's Day a great deal of fun. And we had a great service today at NHC. A couple of months ago was probably one of the toughest ones we had had. It was just a struggle. And today the singing was good, and we had some families in, and we just, everybody with the exception of one was pretty alert. We had one lady, if you can sleep through my talking pretty close to you, you're a pretty good sleeper. But it was a good day. So those of you got to go to that, and I enjoyed very much being with them, and I think they enjoyed us being there today. So that was a good time. We had a room full of people. They hadn't coming in late. They heard about us. You know, the word was spreading through the nursing home. They were coming as fast as they could roll there. But it was a good time. We're going to talk about Isaiah 55 a little bit, and I may reserve my comments. But I think to understand Isaiah 55, it's important to go back to especially Isaiah 53, and we're going to pick up at the end of 52. If I mention Isaiah 53, I bet some of you know what that chapter is about. It's about the suffering Savior. Isaiah prophesies about the suffering Savior. And Isaiah 55 is about a great invitation. Okay? But the only reason that the great invitation is possible is because of the price that the suffering Savior is going to make that he talks about in 53. So I thought these are really pretty powerful chapters of Scripture and kind of need to read them out of their context, or just to discuss one without the other. I think it's appropriate for us to kind of look at them together tonight. So we'll just read through those because these all go together. You kind of really, if you want to go back and study, and we're not going back that far, go back to 49, to Isaiah 49 through 57 is a continuing thought. But we won't read all of that, so relax. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Seeing, O barren woman, now we change. We've got 53 is about the suffering Savior. Right? We've got the Redeemer, the Messiah who has come, who has suffered, who has paid the price. And now Isaiah in 54 and 55 will talk about what is possible now because of that. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left, your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid, you will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace, you will not be humiliated. For you will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. The Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who married young only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I have abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. To me this is like the days of Noah, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. O afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will build you with stones of turquoise, your foundations with sapphires. I will bring your battlements of rubies, your gates of sparkling jewels, and all of your walls of precious stones. All your sons will be taught by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. In righteousness you will be established. Tyranny will be far from you. You will have nothing to fear. Terror will be far removed. It will not come near you. If anyone does attack you, it will not be my doing. Whoever attacks you will surrender to you. See, it is I who created the blacksmith, who fans the coals into flames and forges a weapon fit for its work. And it is I who have created the destroyer to work havoc. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Through 55. $55. Let me give you a second. All right, now we're in 55, because now we already have a call to, in 54, it's kind of a call to Israel. And remember, Israel is in exile, all right? So it is this call back from exile. You've been away, this call back then from exile. Come all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters and you will have, come all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear to me and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised David. Now, what does this remind you of? It's very much what Jesus says in John 4 to the woman at the well, isn't it? Come and I will give you living water. It's not unlike the promise God makes to Israel when they're going to go into Canaan. Now, this is post that, all right? We're at Isaiah. They've already lived in the land of promise. the kingdoms have divided. This is, you know, getting into later Hebrew history. But God promised him a land that did what? Flowed with milk and honey, right? And so he's saying, through the Messiah, I call you back, that you won't, I'm going to give you these things. It is God who is going to bless you with these things. And why would you waste your resources on things that don't satisfy? I'm going to give you the things that you need. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God and he will freely pardon. Now, what's he saying here? Is God going to move away where he can't be found? It's not what the prophet's saying. But he's saying, while the opportunity is here, while God, add my language, is knocking, respond to that. It's almost Jesus says the kingdom is at hand, right? The kingdom is near. Here's your opportunity. Not that God's not there, but at this point, God is knocking. God is calling. God can be found. The Apostle Paul would tell the Athenians, he's not far from any one of us. But the prophet Isaiah is saying, seek God while you can, while you have opportunity, while there's another way. Seek him. And then he talks about something that's so important for us to remember. And if you're going to seek him, you must do what? What term? You read that. What would be a term we would use for what Isaiah says here? Repentance. Repent. He's saying, come to God and repent. Isn't that what he's saying? Look at that. Evil man, the wicked man forsake his ways, and the evil man forsake your evil thoughts and your evil ways and come to God. Repent and come to God is what Isaiah is saying. While you have the opportunity, not that God is leaving, but the opportunity presents itself, it's time for you to come to him and change your evil ways. Now, here's the thought as we read this, because some of this seems to really apply certainly to the future, the time of the Messiah, but also these thoughts, and this is a passage you're going to be familiar with. My thoughts are above your thoughts, but it kind of goes back to, was it 54, where he talks about, I will bring you back and those things. I was angry with you, but not for long. The thing seems to be here. It doesn't make a lot of sense that I sent you into exile. Now I'm bringing you back. But here God is saying, my ways are different than your ways. So let's see what the prophet says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thought than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. What will we translate it? What will John say about the Messiah who comes? He's the Word. The Word became flesh. But what we talk about, that the Spirit of God moved through the prophets and through the writers of the Old Testament. We believe those of the New Testament, those people were inspired, that God's Spirit gave us God's Word. The Word of God, and then it goes out and does what? It produces fruit. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Just like the rain, and man, aren't we blessed to have the rain we've had. You know, things have greened up and they are growing. Josh has a tomato. He's proud. Huh? Something ain't. Well, the rain grew it because he can't handle it. That's a whole different story. But all those things, and that's the analogy that Isaiah says, that when the rains come, they make a difference. And he's saying that the Word of God does the same. It will accomplish its purpose. What will accomplish its purpose? God's Word. There's less than, so what should we be about? Proclaiming God's word, right? Because God's word will bring about the purpose God intended. And so we should be about the word of God. And very often, what do we want to do? We feel maybe more responsible than we should to make it work. What should we be doing? We just should be about sharing the word of God and its truth and living God's ways, because God's word is powerful. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow a pine tree, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. 55, Isaiah 55 is really a powerful passage in it. Words that you're familiar with of hope, of promise, of fulfillment, of satisfaction, if you will, brought about because the Messiah, because the Son of God came and became an offering for us. And so we have reconciliation and forgiveness, and God calls us to repentance and to return to Him, and He will give us great blessings. And that God's word is powerful, and we ought to be people of God sharing His word. If you need to come tonight, would you do that while we stand and sing?